well, we're in a series called That I May Know Him. And in Philippians 3:10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformed to his death. And so in Paul's life, the greatest thing in the world to him was that he may know Christ. Okay? I was talking to my mom, well, actually a couple of years ago, my mom, who is 93 and failing in health, called me and said, Brad, I want you to pray for me. I said, what do you want me to pray for you about, Mom? And she said, I just want to get closer to God. And I feel like that I just can't get closer than I am, and I want to get closer to God. And I'm thinking, man, if you get any more closer, you're going to be like, I need you to be praying for me, you know. But anyway, I prayed for her. But what her desire was, that she might know God better. And hopefully that's your desire. I want to know God better. I want to know Jesus better. And so that's why we've undertaken to look at what Jesus said and look at what he did. Because as we look at what he said and what he did, perhaps we can get a more understanding of who he is and we can know him better. And here's what I've discovered in my life. The better I know him, the more I love him. The more I love him, the more I want to obey him. And so, the greatest thing, perhaps, in all of a Christian life is to know Jesus better. And so that's why we've undertaken to look at what Jesus said and did. If you would turn to in your Bibles, and here's what I'm, in Matthew chapter 3, a lot of times when I'm, it's not going to be on the screen, okay? I want to teach you to use your Bible. Matthew chapter 3, now sometimes when we're going to a lot of different passages of Scripture, I will have that on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, I want to begin reading with that passage of Scripture. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 16. Then we're going to skip to chapter 4, and we're going to talk about the temptation of Jesus. Okay? So, if you have your Bibles, follow along with me. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Beginning in verse 16 of chapter 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. I'm sorry, that was verse 1. 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, we really need to stand for the reading of God's Word. Okay? So let's do that. If you're able to stand with me this morning, then do so. Then chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. I'm thinking I would have been hungry before then. But afterward, he was hungry. And now when the tempter came, he said to him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said unto him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. You may be seated. You know, I was wondering, and I don't have the answer to this, but I was wondering, when the devil came to Jesus the first time, why didn't Jesus just say, get out of here? But I want you to remember, that prior to this time, Jesus had not performed any miracles. He had not healed anyone. There was no, his ministry had not yet begun. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I see, and the reason, well, anyway, I'll get to that. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there are two things that I see that were necessary for Jesus to be victorious in trials, to be victorious in temptations and difficulties. The first thing is the Word of God. We studied last week how probably Jesus had memorized the first five books of the Bible, how he knew Scripture inside and out. As a matter of fact, two of these passages of Scripture come that he quoted to Satan come from Deuteronomy, one in Deuteronomy chapter 8, one in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He had memorized these, and when Satan came and tempted him, Jesus quoted these passages of Scripture to him. One of the things that you have to have in your Bible, in your life, in order to combat the temptations of Satan is the Word of God. Okay? Scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So in order to combat Satan's temptations, you have to have faith, but if you don't have the Word of God implanted in your soul, you're not going to have the faith, because the faith is built on the Word of God and trusting what he says. Okay? And the second thing we see that happened to Jesus is that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That was at his baptism. He didn't go through these temptations until after the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just say this. Although Jesus was the Son of God, and the Spirit indwelled him from infancy or from even prior to birth, that he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until he was baptized. That was the picture of the dove coming down from heaven and being Jesus and the dove of the Spirit lighting upon him. You remember that? We just read that. And so it's important, as you go into temptation, it's important two things that you need to have. One is the Word of God active in your life. And the second thing is the Holy Spirit empowering you in your life. Okay? That's very important. And we're going to see as we go into Jesus' life that this is these two things are active throughout his ministry. The Word of God and the power of the Spirit. Okay? And as you move into the ministries that God has for you, you're not going to do it very adequately if you only have one of those things. Okay? It's very important that you have both of those things active in your life. What are they? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Okay? Very important. Hold on to that, because that's going to be necessary for you to be able to combat temptation. It's going to be necessary for you to go to perform the ministry that God has for you. It's very important. Okay? Now, you need to, I hope I say this correctly. Jesus was tested before he was trusted with ministry. Okay? You might say, well, couldn't the Father trust him anyway? Well, here's what happens. It happens in all of our lives. Do you remember last week we said that Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God and man? Did you know that you grow up in your spiritual life just like Jesus did? And that there are testings that God allows to come upon your life before he gives you greater responsibility. Now, these testings are not for pass or fail. Oh, you're a failure. Loser. These testings are to strengthen you. Okay? They're to build you up. They're to build up your faith so that you can accomplish what God has you to accomplish. Now, Jesus was not ready to accomplish the miracles that he accomplished after his baptism and after his wilderness experience prior to that, because he was still growing up in that. Okay? He was still growing up in that. And it wasn't God was testing Jesus to see if he was going to pass or fail. He was testing Jesus to build his strength. To build his strength. So here's the deal. When you go through a difficult time in your life, and you get through it, and then another difficult time comes in your life, you can say, hey, I made it through that. If I made it through that, God's going to see me through this. God's going to see me through this. And I know I can do it because God is with me. I know I can do it because I have the Word of God in my heart and I'm trusting God. I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust Him. Amen. I'm going to trust Him. Okay? And so it's not... some of you are going through tests right now. How many of you are going through tests right now? Well, that's most of us. Okay? God is not trying to say, loser, if you fail. He's just trying to strengthen you. He's trying to embolden you. One of the reasons you need to be in church is so the other Christians come along beside you and encourage you in that. We all go through tests. Jesus is just an example of us and how we're growing in the Lord. Okay? So, it's not whether you pass or fail, it's are you being strengthened? Are you strengthening the inner man as you go through these things? Once you come out of it, you're going to be a whole lot more powerful than you were when you went into it. Okay? So, what did Jesus do? So we're going to talk about what did Jesus do. Next week we'll talk about what did he say. Okay? So what did Jesus do? Jesus resisted every temptation that came upon him. Anything that Satan had to throw at him, Jesus resisted. Scripture says that he was sinless. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that amazing? In every area, Jesus was tempted. Just like you're being tempted and tested, Jesus was tempted and tested just as you are. But yet, he never sinned. He never sinned. Isn't that amazing? He's the only one that ever did that. He's the only one that ever did that, that was tested without sin. So Satan was trying to trap him. And if Jesus had taken the bait, he could not have been our Savior. Okay? He came to redeem us. He came to save us from our sin. But if he had ever sinned, he could not have been our Savior. So, the second thing is, Jesus shows us how to resist temptation. Jesus shows us how to resist temptation. That should be your next slide there, brother. Okay. All right. So Jesus was tempted in every area we're tempted. Go to the next slide. Is there another slide there? All right. So Jesus used the Word of God to resist Satan's attacks. Okay? He showed us how to resist temptation. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud. But what is your weakest area in regards to your sinful behavior? What's your weakest area? Okay? I'll tell you, here's what Jesus, so I want to give you a tool to use. Whatever your weakest area is, let's just say your weakest area is anger. Find scripture verses addressing anger and start memorizing those things, like James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Don't ask me why I know that. Be angry and sin not. don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay? That's not that one. That's a different one. Anyway. Worry is another one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. Don't ask me why, I know that. Philippians 4, 6. there are other, if you have a fear problem, 2 Timothy 2, 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm working on an area of weakness in my life, and I'm going to ask you to try to tell me what that is, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. 2 Timothy 2:24 says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, be able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Another passage of Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with everyone. What do you think I'm working on? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you get those passages of Scripture and you begin to use those, and when the enemy comes at you, you can then have a buffer to thwart his attacks on you. Okay? So that's what Jesus shows us, is that when you have a weak area, not saying he had a weak area, but at least he's demonstrating what we can do if we have a weak area in our life. We get those passages of Scripture that combat that. Let's just say that you have an addiction. What's a good passage of Scripture for that?
Be sober-minded.
But be sober-minded, be filled with the Spirit. That's a good one. Romans chapter 6 is a good one for everything. Okay? Romans chapter 6 is a good one for everything. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, it actually is chapter 6, 1 through 6, something like that. But when it says sin, you put your addiction or put your behavior in where it says sin. For instance, it would come like something like this. What shall I say then? Shall I continue in drug addiction that grace may abound? How can I, who am dead to drug addiction, live any longer therein? Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into the baptism of Jesus Christ was baptized into his death? And so you just keep on going, and anytime it says sin, you put your thing in that. Now, let me ask you a question. How many dead people have you seen in drug addiction? Dead people have you seen in drug addiction? They're dead. There are no people who are dead. And so you picture yourself dead on the cross, okay? As a matter of fact, one of the tools that I use in my own life is if there's a behavior that I can't seem to overcome, maybe it's a stronghold in my life, and maybe even sometimes I don't want to overcome. It's like, Lord, I want this part of me. There's a part of me that enjoys this sin. And I want this part of me to die. And so I hang it on the cross. Crucify that part of me. And Lord, I pray that you would kill that part of me that enjoys this behavior. And do you know what God does? He begins to remove that part of me that really enjoys that particular sin. It begins to die and wither up. Isn't that amazing? But Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. He said, if you want to be a disciple of mine, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. So what does the cross picture? Death. Okay? It's not your spouse. Your cross is not your spouse. Your cross is not your children. Your cross is yourself.
Okay? Don't pray for the death of your spouse. Pray for the death of that part of you that is resisting the grace of God. Okay? So, find those passages of Scripture that you can use to combat the weak areas of your life. And again, and I didn't say this clearly, but I need to say it again. If for some reason you use Scripture and you're not able to overcome that and it keeps coming on you and keeps coming on you, Teresa? Great. That's good. That's a very good. Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. Very good. It's another great passage. When you find that you do those things and you can't seem to conquer it, you probably have a stronghold in your life. Okay? And that takes, sometimes that takes counseling, that takes some tools that I don't have time to give you today in order to overcome those strongholds, but at least you can get started. Okay? At least you can get started. Now, do you know what Jesus' greatest temptation was? It came in the garden. Okay? It came in the garden. He came... Actually, at this, the greatest temptation he had was when Satan approached him. He knew he was going to face the cross. And he spent all night in prayer preparing for the cross. And he was getting rid of all selfishness. And he prayed, Father, he finally came to the place where he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't want to go through it? You knew you were going to go through it, but you did not. There's nothing in you that wanted to go through it. That's where Jesus was. That's where Jesus was. And he said, I don't want to go through this. There's nothing in me that wants to be obedient to the Father. Okay, but finally, after bringing his friends with him to pray for him, praying all night, he says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And he conquered the cross the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers came to get him, he was in total peace. Total peace. But he conquered that the night before in prayer. There was a war against the flesh. His flesh didn't want to go to the cross. But he yielded his life to his Father. See, he died that you might live. He died so that you could inherit eternal life. He passed the test. You remember me saying earlier that I think I can say this and it be correct. I think the greater the test, the greater the blessing on the other side. Okay? The greater the test, the greater the blessing on the other side. You look at Abraham. You look at Jacob, you look at other men of faith, David, great areas of test, and then God's blessing. Jesus went through the most horrible test in the garden that one could imagine. But the blessing on the other side is that he was able to redeem you, he was able to redeem me, he was able to redeem every person in the world if we turn our hearts and our lives over to him. That's the blessing. And his blessing was that he wants to have a personal relationship with each of us, and that was impossible before the cross because the sin had not been paid for.
And because of the death on the cross, he was able to cancel our sin debt so that that relationship could be restored. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous? And I don't know where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're going through some tests this morning. If you look at your action steps, it says, I'm being tested at this time in my life. I'm going through a test. And I'm not rejoicing. I need prayer to come out the other side stronger than when I went in. The third one says, perhaps the test that I'm going through is God's preparation for ministry. And the last one is, I will find, memorize, and quote Scripture to combat my spiritual weaknesses. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord this morning. But I do know this, that God wants to use whatever test you're going through to encourage you, to strengthen you, to bless you, so that you can be a blessing to others. I don't know where you are in that. But I also know that Jesus died for every one of you. But you can never have that personal relationship unless you receive his gift to you. So would you this morning be willing to trust Jesus as your Savior? Would you be willing to turn from sin and embrace the Lord? Would you be willing to ask His forgiveness and put Him number one in your life? I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to have invitation. Father, I come before you today. And I want to thank you for these, my brothers and sisters, here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you also for the temptations you endured, for the things that you've shown us in your Scripture. Lord, how we can grow in our knowledge of you. Lord, we don't want to just grow in our knowledge of you. We want to grow to know you better. Not about just what you did, but just to know you in a personal way. And God, there may be some here today who do not know you, haven't even started that process. I ask today that they would come before you, and Lord, that they would embrace you as their Lord and Savior. God, many raised their hands this morning saying they were going through some tests, going through some trials. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in them. I pray that you would strengthen them in the midst of it. And Lord, that you would show them what it is that you're needing to show them in the midst of this, so that they can be an encouragement to others who may be going, who may go through the same things they're going through. Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor. In Jesus' holy name.